come from the reframe principle. Reframe principle is that God is shifting our perspective and taking us deeper. God is shifting our perspective and taking us deeper. And that comes from the Gospel of John, Gospel of John, chapter 19, verses 25 to 27. In Gospel of John, chapter 19, verses 25 to 27, it says this: near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his own home. Let the church say, we are winning.
We are winning
the war,
the war
in our minds. One more time. We are winning,
we are winning
the war
in our minds.
We've discussed two principles of winning war in our minds. The first principle was replacement. Remove the lie, replace the lie with the truth. The last week we touched on the rewire principle, which is to rewire your brain, renew your mind, create trenches to get out of our ruts. You remember that?
Yes.
This week I want to dig into the next principle, which is called the reframe principle. Let the church say reframe principle. This is different from the first two we discussed. Replacement and rewiring are contingent upon what we do. Reframing is going to be based on our acceptance of what God does in our lives. From this principle, it will take us thanking God for what he's done, even if I don't like the picture. And then maturing in God as he grows us to a new level of knowing him and obeying him. We believe that God is our creator, and he is ultimately shaping the environment so we can becoming more and more like Jesus. And as that environment is being changed, it's important for us to be okay with how the frame is set, how the picture is developed, and how this next season will look different than my last season. We're going to win the war in our minds. First point, we only have two this Sunday. First point is, Jesus, help us see things differently. Jesus, can you all repeat that with me? Say, Jesus, help us see things differently. One more time, Jesus, because I promise you, this is going to be a prayer for you this week. Help us see things differently. In this text, we're at the cross, we're at the penultimate moment where Jesus is in the process of giving his life for our sins. In this moment leading up to it, there's drama, there's intrigue, there's pain and suffering. But since Jesus is doing the reframing, Jesus is presenting the negative in a different light. Jesus, help us see things differently. Prior to the cross, there's the Last Supper where Jesus is washing feet. But at that supper, someone is going to betray him and all the rest will leave. Prior to the cross, he prays in a garden, not wanting to go to the crucifixion. Prior to the cross, he has an audience with leadership and they convict him of crimes he didn't commit. At the cross, he comes in contact with people who are insulting him while he's dying. At the cross, he comes in contact with two thieves. At the cross, he has to lay eyes on his mother who is hurting because her son is hurting. At the cross, he has to feel with feeling abandoned. He's thirsty and he's willing to give up his effort of living for us. At first glance, this picture is a rough one and it doesn't exude a celebration or praise. But I want to argue this morning that even though things are looking bad, Jesus is reframing each scenario so that we can see things differently. Jesus says, I know some disciples left and one betrayed me, but let me reframe this. This had to happen so that when the disciples came back, they will be more committed to telling others about me. Jesus says, I know that leaders disrespected me when I was in their presence, but let me reframe this, so that only God can get the glory through Christ saving humanity. Jesus says, I know they insulted me, but let me reframe this. I'll forgive them so their sin won't stop them from getting to God because I love them. Jesus says, let me let this thief into paradise so others will know it's not too late for them to accept me into their life. Jesus says, let me reframe the cross experience so resurgence will understand that I know what it feels like to be abandoned, to have physical need, to let go of something that's essential. But as I reframe things, I'm showing them that God is able to keep you when everyone else is left. God is able to provide your physical needs, and God is able to redeem you when you think you've lost everything. And here's the shout. God loves us enough. Jesus gave his life for us. The Holy Spirit is now interceding and wants fellowship with us so that even when situations look bad, they can be reframed through the lens of God. We're not talking about replacing or rewiring. We are taking a perspective of God working in our lives, taking situations that we thought were jacked up and getting glory from it all. I know the sickness was traumatic, but through the reframing of God, it drew you closer to him and your praise was intensified. I know the loss of the job was painful, but through the reframing of God, you had a chance to see that God is your sustainer and your increase comes from him. I know the business deal fell through, but through the reframing of God, he did it in such a way that the genius that you got was from revelation from him and not from a business partner. I know the loss in your life was unbearable, but in framing it with God, you learn to lean on God and he can wipe your tears away even in the worst of times. If you believe that, give God some praise this morning. Oh, come on. Give God. The Bible says in Psalm 18:30, this God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge on him. In other words, God, you have a perfect way of dealing with my imperfect situation, and I can hide in you when life gets rough. Psalm 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. In other words, I've tried to fix the picture my own way and I messed up the frame. But when I lean on God's way, I can look back and appreciate what he's done, even though I didn't like it when it was happening. Isaiah 55:8-9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. So God, since you know more and you're better at this thing than I am, let me go and trust you so that I don't mess everything up for my present and for my future. And is there a praise in the house this morning that is glad that when you look back over what happened, I know you didn't enjoy it, but now you see God had to reframe the perspective on your pain. I didn't like the loss. I didn't like the betrayal. I didn't like the scenario, but God is reframing it. If you believe it, give God some praise today. Oh, wait. Listen. I know. For those people of us who are crazy enough to go to this place called the gym, right? We a special kind of crazy, and it's okay. But we understand that in the moment, it hurts. In the moment, it's painful. Some of us are sick enough to go chase after something called a pump. I mean, we work out so hard that the muscles are engorged. In the moment, it's painful. But after you work out right and eat right, when you look back on what you were to what you are now, I thank God that even though it was painful, when I reframed my perspective, I saw I'm better today because I went through that pain than I would if I never went to, ooh, there's a shout in the building. Is there a shout this morning? I know it hurt. I'm not even gonna lie and say it didn't knock the wind out of me. But God, when I look at it through your perspective, you helped reframe it, and I saw that you got the glory out of it all. Yes. But here's a mature take. Can we thank God for the word no? Because the first part, I'm thanking God for what he allowed. He was reframing our lives to please him. I understand after that, looking at things from a godly perspective. But the no is what God denies. Because he knows if a yes is given here, it will mess up the whole frame. Can y'all do that with y'all fingers, the whole frame? I'm going to teach you. There you go. Yeah, yeah, y'all going to remember that. Watch this. Jesus says, no, I'm not going to yield to my flesh. I'm going to go to the cross even though I don't want to. Jesus says, no, I'm not going to allow Peter to keep on stabbing people in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus says, no, I'm not going to withhold my voice even when I'm suffering, because suffering and silence will not give those who believe in me hope that they can reference my life when I go through trials. His no set up the table for us to get saved. His no stopped blood from being spilled in the garden. His no set up a blueprint for how to handle persecution and my own personal trials. Here's an example. When a picture is developed for the photographers in a room, it goes through a process of exposure, chemical process, and refinement process. The exposure process takes in a small amount of light as the picture is taken real quick, but the film stays dark. In the chemical process, the film is taken through a development bath, a stop bath, a fixer bath to get it ready for exposure. When it's time for the refinement process, the film is washed and dry. Stay with me. The film has to stay in the dark during the exposure process and the chemical process so that it's ready to be refined. If the photographer exposes the film to light too soon, then the film will be ruined. So even though someone may want to see the pictures, the photographer has to say no to premature light. Even though someone may want to see the results, the photographer will say no because the light will try to mess up what the photographer is trying to reframe. The photographer has to give some poignant no's along the way so that the correct picture can be created, and the shout is that the necessary no's for the picture is necessary for the development. Let me come a little bit closer. God had to say no to the one that you were dating or the one that you were engaged to because it would have messed up your final picture. God had to say no to the true, that God had to say no for you not going through the trial, because if you didn't go through the trial, you would not have developed perseverance. God had to say no to you having an easy walk, because if you had an easy walk, you would not develop a prayer life and you would be a Christian with lukewarm faith. God had to say no to your friend circle because they never saw your true worth. They weren't real friends at all, and God had to break you free from them so you can see who you are as a child of God. Can somebody thank God this morning for the no's? Thank God this morning for the denials? Thank God this morning for the closed door? Thank God this morning for the way that it didn't go? Because if it went that way, you would have messed up your future. But since God said no, now you have a better future. Why? Because God is reframing our perspective. Let the church say, we're winning the war on our minds. Last point. God's reframing will require depth. God's reframing will require depth. So we're at the cross. There's a conversation that's being had between mother and son. You know it's a deep one because it's one-sided. Most of us who have good mothers don't let us get a word in edgewise. Is my mom here today? No, bless God. That means I'm not going to get beat later. God's reframing will require depth. And Jesus has forgiven. And Jesus has ensured paradise, but this is different. This is mom. This is the one who God spoke to first. God invited this woman on this ride of the miraculous. Jesus is not addressing his aunt. Jesus is not addressing the woman he delivered from demons. Jesus is not addressing the only disciple that is left. Let the church say, this is deep. Jesus is inviting his mother to a deeper relationship with him. He sees his disciple next to her and he says these words, woman, behold your son. Woman, what happened to mother? What happened to the one who cared for you? Woman, I'm your mother. I'm here at this point, at this intersection of my fears coming to fruition, and you address me with this cold exchange. And in fact, there's a pause after the word woman, which shows the weight of the moment. But remember that God's reframing will require depth. And I want to argue that Jesus is aware of his words, and he's calling Mary woman because the depth of their relationship is shifting. Jesus is actively being the sacrifice for her sins. Jesus is knowingly taking on the sins of the world. Jesus is becoming the conduit for a relationship for God and man to be reconnected. And even though you are my mother, the depth of the new season will require me to be more to you. And I can't relate to you in a connection that just stops at the maternal. Jesus says, I'm your savior now. That's why I'm up here. I'm your deliverer now. That's why I'm up here. You've given me life, but I'm giving my life for yours. That's why I'm up here. And the reframing moment will take Mary accepting the new level of relationship that Jesus is offering to her. God's reframing will require depth. God can reframe your past. God can say no, and it was for your good. But this next season resurgence will require depth. It will require intensity. It will require extremity. It will require distance from the surface and going deeper in God. And since this is a year of power, God is presenting you new facets of his glory. His relationship to you is ready for a new level of intensity, a new level of extremity that you haven't waded in before. The top surface has been good, but God is saying we got to go deeper. The surface was, God, thank you for giving me something to eat. But depth is, I'm more than just your provider for food. I want to be your peace. Surface is, God, can you get me out of this jam? But depth is, I'm more than someone to call in your time of trouble. I'm the Holy Spirit that will give you discernment to know how to avoid the pitfalls that the enemy set for you. The surface is, God, can you take out my enemies for me? They are getting on my last nerves. But depth is, I'm more than your protector. I'm the representation of real love. So I'll put my love in you so that you can pray for those who despitefully use you. Depth is, I'm not going to respond to your previous calls to me, not because I don't love you, but because of the reframing. There's more to me than what you previously experienced.
My Lord.
There's a wonderful dynamic when you get a chance to relate to your parents when you get older. When you're younger, the relationship, though deep for them, is surface for you. Because it's just, mom, dad, I need. Mom, dad, I want. Mom, dad, I'm sorry. But as you get older, there's depth to the relationship. Now they can begin to almost partner with you on what it means to be an adult. Now you can begin to share, this is where I messed up, and you're not worrying about punishment, but you need wisdom and love to know the next steps to take in your journey of life. What God is saying to us in the text is, I'm not saying mother was bad, but there's so many different levels to me. And in this season, I'm not going to stop at just mother, but I need you to know me as deliverer. I need you to know me as provider. I need you to know me as peace. I need you to know me as the old saints would say, the wheel in the middle of the wheel. I need you to know me as the one to call first in the midnight hour. And is there a shout in the building that had a surface relationship, but know that when I went deep with God, I found out that he was all that I needed. When I went deep with God, I found out that he could heal my heart. When I went deep with God, I found out that he was everything to me. If you believe that, give God a praise this morning. And as I looked to take my seat, did you notice in the text, when he offered to take Mary deeper, he made sure that she had provision in the deep. He says, woman, behold your son. Then he lets the disciples say, behold your mother. That's going to shout somebody this morning, because some of you are afraid to go deep with God. Y'all can be quiet. It's okay. Because I like God right where he is. I like Sunday morning God. He's safe. I like screen God. I love it. I like the bat signal on the side God. Ooh, thank you, thank you, thank you. I like the God that doesn't challenge or call me out. But as the Holy Spirit is convicting you right now, please understand the call to depth does not go without provision when you get there. If he's calling you to deep, he's going to provide for you. God is not the God to call you to deep and let you drown. Come here, Peter. When you asked to come out on the water, he made sure he was there to pick you up, even when your faith began to shake. People of Resurgence, please understand, as he calls you to deeper, he's going to make sure he's with you every step of the way. Is there a shout in the building that will say, I tried him and I know him and I know he will not fail you? The reframe principle is going to require depth. That's why God is leading us when we come out of this sermon series to go into a time of fasting, to draw closer to him, to really know what God is calling us to do and to be in the earth. I already see it. A lot of y'all are going to be changed over these next months because you are taking seriously your walk. You are taking seriously when, I know I'm looking over here because I love the band. And they so young. And what y'all like, 21, 22? But I see it in them. I see the growth. I see the growth in Gap. Like, I see it. I see it. It's right there for all of you to take advantage of it. But you got to let God reframe it. Do the reframe thing again. Stop looking back over your life and be mad at what God did. And be grateful that he did it. Because if you're honest, if you did it your way, totally jacked it up. Totally messed it up. Have the maturity to thank God for the no's. Can I tell you, I was telling on myself when I gave that example? Right, because the engagement example, that was me. Bless the Lord. If he let me say yes to that, ooh boy. Because nothing wrong was wrong with the person, it just wasn't the person. Look at this, 14 years later, two kids, new church. Bless me, come on, bless beyond favor, because, watch this, I let him say no, swallowed my pride, say, well, I gotta make that move, and you was there all the time, come on, you blessed woman of God, and then the depth that's required. I know what it's like to want just a surface relationship. I know, what do they call it, it's a Sunday kind of love, I got it. Some of us love it, but this new season that he's shown you is going to require more than a Sunday. You're going to have to open up that word and read it and apply it. You're going to have to listen to the voice of God and not be afraid to move past the surface that you've been at and go deeper with him and let him begin to transform you even as you are saved into this greater version that Jesus has for you. If you believe that, give God some praise.